Okay, big tight. We're holding on the first day of Hanukkah. There's a lot, Beis Hashem, that we have to discuss. However, there's a certain nekuda which I wanted to mention, Bedaska, which has got a lot to do with Hanukkah. Revolver says that Hanukkah, and all the Yom Kippurim that we have, Hanukkah is the Chag HaChizuk. And a person can gain a tremendous amount of chizuk from Hanukkah, more than any other chag that there is. And that's like Revolver. And we know, as everybody knows, the famous Chazal tell us that they went inside, they fought, they won. And we don't really have a picture in our mind of what it was all about. A few yidden, with the tzaddikim, the old people, and they went to go fight against the Gansa army. We don't understand what it means. Then they say a marshal from, I mean, not a marshal, the Chofetz Chaim, in his man of the Chofetz Chaim, and he was in Russia. So he mamish had to leave quickly, he ran out of the place as soon as possible, and he went out. The Sheikh Yomov, the Chofetz Chaim said, told somebody, a group of people that were, I think, sitting around him, and the Chofetz Chaim said, you know, I have charata that when I was in Russia, B'Sha'as Meister, and the entire Russian Empire were coming upon the Yidden, I have charata, said the Chofetz Chaim, that we didn't get a group of guys together, we'll gather an oilum together, and we will go and we will fight the Russian army. And he saw, when he was saying this to Chofetz Chaim, he saw a person over there who was like smirking, like smiling, like, you know, fighting against the Russian Empire. Like, what's the shaykh? Chofetz Chaim said, I want to tell you something. You're absolutely right. We 100% would have lost, but that's not the point. We would have tried our best. We would have done what we had to do, and the main what we would have done was done something which would lessen the koyach of the sultan. And I might say, if you know the numbers, it's just mind-boggling. You look at the numbers of the amount of Greeks that they were fighting, B'Sha'as the Yevonim. There was tens and, remember, they make a cheshbon in the Sforim, tens and tens of thousands against a few Yidden, and they won. It's just, and if you know anything about Greek culture, it's unbelievable. The Greek had a certain way of fighting that was not shyest to ever win them. And they say, B'Sheikh Ahmed, they used to make like squares of Scots soldiers, and these soldiers used to have all spears, and they used to fly in all directions. So when they would come towards you, you didn't know what to do first, because all you saw was spears flying for all directions. So you probably didn't know what to do. Nobody got them. Nobody won them. They had a certain tactic that nobody had. And the Mela, we see from the Halif, from Hanukkah, the Ashoi, is that they won, and they managed to conquer them. It's just an unbelievable thing. And everybody knows the famous kasha from the Beis Yosef. What's the Beis Yosef's famous kasha? Everybody discusses, why is there 8 days of Hanukkah? Really, there should be 7. Because like we know, the first day, they had oil. They managed to go in the Beis HaMikdash, they got oil for one day, novels. For another 7 days, there was an 8 that they managed to light. Oh, but the first day wasn't an 8. So I'm not going to go into tons and tons and tons of answers to this. But the one test I want to say is the Me'iri. The Me'iri says, because on the first day, there was a different nace. What was the nace of the first day? They won the war. So the first day, that's what we're holding now, is the representation of the winning of the war. And I heard the Sheikh of Koshuva Rav, he wanted a Taina a little bit different to that. He wanted a Taina, you know, the nace was on the first day, that they went to war. The very fact that they picked up, And they realize that there's no shaykhs, we're not going to manage. There's no way are we going to do it. Oh, but we're going to do our best, we're going to try. That alone was the nace of the first day. And that's the maisa, what we're doing here today. From the first day of Hanukkah, that's the serious nefesh that they had. That koyach that they had, that's what we're celebrating today. That is the first day of Hanukkah. And we see it even later. Right, they go into the Beit HaMikdash. What do they see over there? The place is a total wreck. Mamish, everything's flying all over the place, everything is tome, there's no oil, it's a Gansa Meisa. And when a Chazal tell us, like the Gemara in Shabbos, why is it called Hanukkah? Chonu Chot Hei. They rested, took it easy. So you would expect, what does that mean? What it means is that they went inside, you know, remember saying, they were fighting for 3 years. People don't know this, they think that little Muhammad they had, they won, finished. 3 years straight they were fighting. After 3 years, they came into the Beis HaMikdash, bang, the place is a total pit. So they did easy, you know, clean up the place, sort it out, matar the menorah, do something. No. First thing we do, get some oil, we're going to do the mitzvah now. If we can do a mitzvah, we're going to do it now. It was that koyach, that the serious nefesh that they had, that is exactly what we are celebrating today. And it's that Mesiras Nefesh that teaches us also a big yesod. Because people think of Mesiras Nefesh, what's Mesiras Nefesh? Mesiras Nefesh means I'm walking in the desert, and I'm about to faint, I'm about to die, I haven't eaten for 2 days, I didn't drink for 2 days, I'm not going to make it. But I'm going to fight it. That's Mesiras Nefesh. But both sides, that's a mistake. Mesiras Nefesh is not that Madrega, but that's also Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh means, if I give you a dugma, you have two bochum in yeshiva, both sitting in the base medrash. One of the bochum is sitting, he's learning, quite an hour and a half, he's sitting, he's learning. The other one is sitting, half an hour he learns, half an hour he shmurus a little bit. What's the difference between them? The first one is most a nefesh. The second one is not. What's the difference? A half an hour of learning. He's considered to be a most a nefesh. And which nefesh does not need a higher degree of somebody that mamash holding by dying and yourself continuing to serve the body you should learn. No! So this nefesh means, you know what it means? I tried. I tried my best. I did what was expected of me. That's Mesiras Nefesh. And we know even Baita, right? Saying the foolish, Tumo, Putra, Betsimo. What did I have to go around looking for all the oil, for the Kohen Gadol, the Chasima? Just two regular oil. It was Mutter. 100% muta to take the oil that was tomei, use it for the benayra. La lacha la maisa muta. So what they do, running around looking for the Kohen Gadol's oil? What's the pshat? Because they want to do the mitzvah in the best possible way. And from that comes our halacha, how we know is most kamat people in the ganze welt are mekayim the halachos of Chanukah, mahadrin, mina mahadrin. When do you have such a thing? Right, all the halachas, you've got thousands of, you know, do it as a kosher, and you know, get an estimate a little bit better. And this is unbelievable. Over here, every single person is Mekayim, the top Maida. What's the pshat? Because that's what they did. They were Moisés Efer, they said, no, it's not enough that we have oil that's kosher. We want the best oil. We want the top oil. We're not happy with a little bit. We're happy with the top. And the Mela, we see, for example, there's a Heinz of Chumrah. I'm not discussing halacha now. There's a Heinz of Chumrah that came out from some of the Gedolim, that time you have to have oil that's Roi L'Achila. I cannot tell you the amount of phone calls I got in the last 3 days of people that call me out which Roi L'Achila, how much they spend for Roi L'Achila, but boy, it's a chumash of a chumash of a chumrah. Oh, but everybody wants to do it. What's the plan? Because you want the best. We're not settling for second best, right? And there I had people calling me up, I need a heter azoi. You know, give me a heter, I'm sure you can find some poiskim that say like that, you know? If I call you up and say, a boy said, I have a shidduch for you. Well, you tell me no, what you like. Maybe they'll be like, hello, me? No way. I want the best! So if you want the best, the minute, that's exactly what we're doing by Hanukkah. And the Yisrael comes from there. They were not happy with second best. They wanted the top. They wanted the best. So the question is, all very nice, but how do we do this? How do we get to this Madrega? How do we get there? The Maitre Chazal tell us an interesting thing. Momish, an interesting thing. When a person dies after 120, three malachim are going to come to him. One malach is going to be weighing up all his tovah and all his mitzvahs and his chesed, everything good that he did. The other malach is coming along to look at all the avos, all the bad things that he did. And the third one, Shteitan Chazal, is going to see what he did with tovah and mitzvahs. That, Rabbeinu, is an obvious kasha over here, right? What do we need three for? Because the tovah and mitzvahs is included in the first one. Why do you need one to teach me all out Torah and mitzvahs, the other one by Avos, and another one to see what's with the Torah? What's going on over here? Right? Thanks for an explanation. Question number two, similar to Akasha. Hillel. What do we see from Hillel? The Gemara tells us what happened. Hillel was too poor. Mom is terribly, terribly, terribly poor. He didn't have any money to get into the Medrash. So what do you do? He goes up to the roof, the skylight, and he listens Torah from the roof. And suddenly they see it, so it starts to get dark in the Medrash. They look up there, they say, hey, what's going on over there? They see somebody up there. They pull him down. They're my mistake. They just about caught him from dying. And they chapped him, and Baruch Hashem is okay. But I'm going to say, the obvious kasha is, I don't understand. Hillel, it's awesome to do these things. There's a halacha that a person not to be most in effort for. He's not to kill himself for these things. You're not allowed to do that. You have to look after yourself. Well, what's Chayim Hillel? What did he do this for? So this one I answer as follows. I heard this from Reb Tatz. He tells us as well. When the Gemara tells us that a person will go to Shamayim Beis Hashem and he'll be judged, so they're going to ask you, they're going to ask you tons of questions. Oh, but says the Gemara, whatever you say, you're going to be in trouble. Why is that? So says the Gemara like this, very posh. You're going to tell them, well, the massive businessman, I have so much money, I have to look after my right, mister, right? The business to look after your things, I have to tutor you. I don't have time to learn. They're going to tell him, oh really? You're not richer than all the chashuva people that were so rich, they all managed to become big tanoim. They all managed to learn Torah. You're not richer than them. You're going to tell them, I was too poor. I didn't have any money. And as they state mafurish, if you don't have any money, you can go work. You can go make a banasa. It's mafurish. They'll tell you, really? You were poorer than Hillel. Hillel managed. He didn't have a penny, but he managed. He managed to learn. So, and then the Gemara carries on telling, but this is what all you guys are going to say, right? I was too handsome. Posh it, I'm a machine. What can I do? That's how the Gemara is going to make me, right? So the Gemara, really? Because the Gemara is going to tell him to say, were you more handsome than Yosef Atzadik? It's expansion. No, you weren't. So Mela, what excuse do you have? That's what the Gemara tells us. Now, everybody say, there's a bone kasher over here. Let's take, for example, being poor. I don't understand. The Torah says, I have to work, I have to learn, and learn, and learn, and learn, and learn. Yom HaMalayla, every second of the day. But if a person hasn't got any money, and he needs to make a panasa, close the Gemara, go to work. That's what the Gemara tells, that's the halacha. If you haven't got any money, you need to make any money, you have to live. So then close the Gemara and go to work. That's what the Gemara says. And what happens? I come to Shaman and tell me, it's not good enough. You didn't do good enough. You were too poor. You should have been like Hillel. There were people in your situation who also managed. They also managed to do just well. Right? Now, my boy said, I don't understand what's going on over here. Here the Torah told me, I'm allowed to close my Gemara. I'm allowed to go to work. I told Rabbi Shalom, says in your Torah that I'm allowed to go to work. That I'm allowed to go make a parnasa. Right? Of course I'm allowed. So what's the Torah going to come along? What type of court case is this? What type of court? What type of justice system is this? It says in the law, a certain law. You go up to there and you tell them, I was mekayim the law. Too bad, not good enough. There were people who did better than you. There were people in your situation who didn't manage, and they did manage to learn, and they didn't have to spend all their time on everything else. But both say, what's going on over here? I'm mechuyev to do more than is expected of me. I'm mechuyev to go lemalam in a tela. What's going on? So I put a tax like this. He says, and you saw it like this, for SM, there's two responsibilities of a person when he's placed into this world. There's two responsibilities. Responsibility number one is for a person to keep all the laws. To keep, which state in halacha, which state in the Torah, you've got to keep it. And the second one is to keep of yourself to reach perfection. To become something. To make something of your life. Those are the two things. And if you look, for example, just a small dugri, look at Stoim. What was the pshat that Stoim was distracted, were totally destroyed more than any other nation? Right, there were plenty of places there that were doing terrible things. What was the reason why Stoim was absolutely the worst? We had to destroy down to the last blade of grass. What was the pshat? Pshat is, because a person can not do bad. It'll be alright. I didn't do any bad. I didn't do anything to anybody. But as long as you're producing, then we don't mind. Stoim were worse. They didn't even produce. They were choluk on chesed. They were choluk on the mahalach of helping people. They totally didn't produce anything. Someone that doesn't produce, we can't keep them. I'll give you a dogma. He says the dogma. What happens if you hire yourself a cleaner? You get yourself a cleaner. You tell the cleaner, I want it to come in from 9 to 5. I want to clean everything. Very good. Right? So she comes in. She starts to clean everything. Very nice. After a few days, you realize, hey, a couple of things were missing in the house. A little bit of this. Thing over here, my money on the instructor box. He starts to cut something missing. What's your reaction? Are you going to fire her? No, you're not going to fire her. You'll maybe take things out of her temptation, you give her a warning, whatever. How about this? You hire a cleaner, she comes in at 9 o'clock, she sits down on the couch with a pina colada, she sits there and drinks till 5 o'clock. Mamish, 9 to 5. Beautiful, comes on time, leaves on time, and then she leaves. What are you going to do to her? Fire! What's the chat? What's the difference? Because this woman over here, she didn't do anything. She's not producing anything, but she's doing anything wrong. But she didn't produce. So look there, that we are putting this in the world, not only just to not do bad, and not do what they want, but also to produce, to become something, to do something. And this, for Etzem, is the third mahalach. This is the third mahalach that's going to come to a person, and he's going to tell you, no, what did you become? What made you? What happened to you? Right? And the Etzem, there's an example, I'll give another example. What happens if you hire a delivery guy? Right, you tell him, listen, I need a certain amount of goods going to Beit Shemesh. So you hire the delivery guy, he brings his lorry, he loads up the stuff, and off he goes. And he tells him before he goes, listen, I have to tell you, there are certain instructions over here. What are these instructions? Number one, you're not allowed to speed. Number two, you can't, if I don't get any tickets. Number four, be careful with the tyres. He said, no problem, end by that. And off he goes, right? He comes back, and he says, you should know something. Everything was Gavaldic, I didn't get a ticket. I didn't speed. The tyres are beautiful. So he told him, that no, you delivered it? Oh, I forgot about that. That guy can do the whole thing. He'll follow all the rules. But he won't get the job done. Right? He won't get the job done. So again, there's two reasons why we put into this world. Reason number one is why the two malachim are coming. Mitzvahs and aveiros. Mitzvahs and aveiros. The other one is, what were you? What did you become? What made you? Oh, another example of a site. You take a course, right? You go to a school, a college, whatever it may be, and you go and take a course in a certain thing that you have to take, right? So you go and apply, you get in, gavaldik. First day, what happens? My best friend's chasna. No, my best friend's chasna. I'm going to go to the chasna, right? So I go to the chasna, best friend's chasna. The next day, right? His mother was sick. He has to go visit his mother. He has to go help her out. The kids will say, he goes through the entire course without once going through the course. But every single day, he had a good excuse. Amazing! Very, very good. So he'll come back and say, whoa, wasn't my fault. I had a good excuse. What do you mean? It's very nice. But where's his degree? Will he get his degree? I thought that he won't. I use good excuses. So what? He didn't have a good degree. But boy, that's the Pshat and Hillel. Hillel Avada! He was Potter! He didn't have to! But he wanted to. Who would be Hillel? Very nice, have an excuse! I've got no money, I can't do it, what can I do? Very sorry. That's what it says in the Torah. That's what it says. If I haven't got any money, I'm gonna make a panasa! He goes, no. And the Hanami have an excuse. But who's gonna be Hillel? And Hillel, that's what you have to do. And the mic, if you see, we don't even do this. We don't even do this chesed. Right, you see, the Havdil El Avadol by a business. What does a business do? Right? Any good business, they have, like every single month, they have like a nice meeting, they sit down, and they meet with the board to discuss what's the situation with the money, what's the situation with the workers, they make an evaluation! That's what a business worker is saying. What about for our lives? We only get one chance. And for our life, do we make an evaluation? Do we make any sort of judgment to what's going on over here, and what are the repercussions of our actions? Remember, it's important for a person to think about that. How do we do this? How does a person reach this perfection, this greatness, this wonderful Maila? Only one way. Very, very small steps. The only way for a person to reach true greatness is for a person to come along with small, easy steps. When a person comes along in that way, then it will be Beseda. There was a Maisa once. There was a Maisa once with a Rav who was walking with his daughter to give a, he was going to give a shin, and she was coming along. So the kitzah, he starts walking and runs a terrible, terrible rain, terrible, terrible wind. And you know, he says to her, you know, you should know that we're getting schar because every single step is we're going to a tzorich mitzvah. She says to him, you know what, if that's the case, let's take smaller steps. Because every small step is going to get ourselves a mitzvah. There was another mice in a restaurant. A mice in a restaurant like this. This happened, I've seen this many times happen, unfortunately. If people don't get the order on time, what do you do? Who do you scream at? The waiter! What is fault? What is him the waiter? That's good to get it out, right? To scream at somebody, you feel like you did something. So here's the waiter. He was mummish being mabaze unbelievably. They were telling you, ah, you're late, you're good for nothing, you're not going to get tipped. And the waiter stood there, didn't say a word. So there was a rogue in the restaurant, Shas Maitan. He calls the waiter and said, let me tell you, please, give me a bracha. Why? Because especially in the Gemara, if a person gets an insult and he doesn't answer back, unbelievable, his madrega, he can give brothers. And then he said, please give me a bracha. Now this waiter couldn't believe it. He said, come on, and you're making fun of me again. Somebody else is making fun of me. You're a big rabbi with a beard and everything, and you're coming on to ask a bracha from me. I can't do anything. I don't even keep anything. No, please, I want a bracha from you. The cat long story short, Rabbi said, this person, this waiter, he has such an unbelievable cheshik, for he realized that somebody cares about me. It bothers somebody that they want me to become, I have to become better, and the Mela Baruch Hashem, he went on the path to become a better person, right? But why? One small person made one small little result, one little mark, one little help to somebody else. One step, that's what it takes. Just one step, one at a time. There's another mix-up. A certain person, he rescued a soldier, right? He rescued a soldier. Eventually, this soldier became the most powerful man in all of Poland. and eventually, and somehow they were together, they happened to meet. And the soldier, who's now one of the big officials in Poland, said to this man, "Hey, you recognize me?" He said, "No." He said, "I was that soldier that you saved my life. I owe my life to you. I want to give you something." He gives him a white piece of paper with a stamp on. He says, "Let me tell you something. If you ever need this, whatever you need, you come to me. I owe you one. I'll give it to you." So the guess he put it in his pocket and off he went. Years later, there were three boys that were captured and were going to be sent to Siberia. So Bekitsa, the Reb Chaim Oizer, knew the whole mitzvah that we said before. And Reb Chaim Oizer decided, now's the time to use your favor. Now's the time to use the white piece of paper. So he calls on the fellow, tells him, "Listen, go to the Poland guy, go give him your paper, save these brachim, we have to save these brachim, we cannot send to Siberia." So off he goes, and he's outside, he goes over to the guy, says, "Oh, what can I do for you? Please, there are three brachim that have been sent to Siberia, please get them to come back." 100% of which is the piece of paper. He calls up the Iraqi officials, and he got them back. The boy said, one of those brachim was the stipler. And why did he do it? For one small meister. He helped somebody else, and he managed to save the stipler, Rabbi said. Not a meister, Rabbi said. There was a kiosk, I think this happened in America. There was a small little kiosk selling certain things inside. What happened is that somebody who always walked past this place always realized a very interesting thing. A human guy in the kiosk, from it, he's always learning. He's forever learning, this guy. What's chatting this guy? He's forever learning. So then she decides to go up to him and ask him a question. "Do me a favor, what's your name, where do you come from, which yeshiva?" Doesn't matter. The kid said, he managed to mention somewhere along the conversation with Aaron Kotler. He said, "Yeah, I go to yeshiva with Aaron Kotler." So the kiosk says, "I'm with Aaron Kotler? You know him?" "What do you mean?" "Yeah, he's like one of the biggest gedolim that we have." I couldn't believe it. He started crying. And I said, "What's the matter?" "I said, I want to tell you something. When I was very, very young, I was working at a butcher shop, whatever it may be, and I saved pennies every single day that I put into a jar. And when the jar was full of money, I went to one of the yeshivas nearby, and I want to have a source. I want to send, with this money, two brachim to a good yeshiva." And they took the money, and they sent two brachim, I think Nebazuk, and the Kitzah, Baruch Hashem, one of them was Rabbi Kotler, and one of them was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Why? Because every day he saved up a little bit of money. What does it show? Just one little thing can make such a difference to a person, such a difference to a life. It's mind-boggling. And I'll tell you another mitzvah by side. Mamash and Mosika mitzvah also. That there was, in the time, right, Mamash, years before the war, there was a certain person who was in the army, and he sees a German soldier on the floor, blood all over the place. He says, "That's a German, not German. What's the difference? He's a human being." He schleps him in, he treats his wounds. I think he saved him. Now, he didn't hear of this person, he didn't know who he was, and that was it. Years and years later, right, by Erich 1939, right, the start of the war, when everyone was suddenly getting a little bit nervous, we didn't know what's going to be, we didn't know what's going to happen, we heard rumors about people going different places, and ashes and trucks and all sorts of things. All of a sudden, one day, smashes down the door, this huge, huge guy, this massive, big, big army guy from the German army. And everybody is sitting there, petrified. Silence as could be, petrified. What is going to be, right? They heard the rumors, we see that it's come true. Says this guy, the soldier, "Are you Mr. So-and-so?" He says, "Yes." "So I want to tell you something. I tracked you down. I'm the soldier that you saved all those years ago. And it's time for me to pay you back with that favor." And he said, "I wanted to know something. I saw the paper last night of all the list of the people that are going to be sent away and never be heard of again. You're on that list. I'm warning you now. They're coming tomorrow. Do whatever you want with this information." And Baruch Hashem, and he left. And Baruch Hashem told hundreds of people left the town that night, and Baruch Hashem escaped. And why? Because one meister of chesed. One meister towards somebody else managed to save hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. One more meister. It's a very chashuva meister. There was a meister with two twins inside a stomach of a woman. So two twins inside the stomach. Yeah? One of them says to the other one, "Hey, what do you think happens at the end of this? Like what happens after this?" Right? So the guy says, "Oh, I'll tell you, very simple. There's like this pressure and like pushing, and then we drop out and then we just die." No. The other guy says, "It can't be. It's not possible." And Malach, I think he told me before, that what happens is you go out, there's a bunch of the pushing and everything, you go, you drop out, and all of a sudden you see and you hear and you can cry, like, all things happen, unbelievable things. Well, if it comes, what are you talking about? We drop out, we die. That's it. Okay. Right, so, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait. And eventually, all of a sudden, it begins. The pressure, the pushing, and they're like screaming, what's going to be, and what's going to be, bye, see you later, whatever. I'll wait till the other way. Mama's down, and so there's conversations going on over there, right? And what happens? One of them, who's the one that, the believer, right? He heard from the Malach that it's all the same when you come out the other end. He was the first one. Slowly, slowly, out he goes. And the other one's listening to see, no, what's going to be? What happened? What happened? Eh? And all of a sudden, he hears him drop out. He hears like a scream. And he goes quiet. I knew, I told you! I told you, they kill you, he's dead, that's it! And what does he see then? He sees the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord stuck to his belly button that the doctor always cuts after he's born. All of a sudden, this umbilical cord comes back in his life. Nothing on the other end. You see, I told you they're going to kill you, it's all over! He says to himself, you know what, I'm not going to go through all this. What, I should go through all of that just to die? What, are you crazy? I'm ending it now. He takes, that's a horrible thing to say, he takes the umbilical cord, he wraps it around his neck, and he dies. And meanwhile, the other brother outside is like, no, come on, it's a smack on here, mama says, come bowling, we're going to play baseball together, we're going to learn together, mama says, back! And where is he? The doctor says, unfortunately, he didn't make it. And he said, what's the matter with you, Chabal? We're right here we are, you could have enjoyed the world! Didn't make it. Just that, you know, he says this Maisa, the Gesher HaChaim. The Gesher HaChaim brings down this Maisa, and he says, you know something? We're all in the same mountain. We're all right now on the stomach. And we all think at the end, nothing there, nothing doing. Let's enjoy, right? That was your one. Enjoy the physical death. Enjoy everything that's physical that you can have, that you can grab hold of, right? Enjoy this life, because at the end of the day, nothing anyway. Oh, but you missed the boat! Because when you get to the other side, that's the gatherers! Straight in the Mishnah that what's going to be over there, no one of my boys is not going to be worth any amount of simcha that was going to answer out! And people sell themselves short. And people kill themselves, kill you spiritually in this world. Because they think this world must enjoy itself. Let's eat, let's drink, let's be merry, let's get a biggest smack! What's the difference? We'll drop out anyway and die. Oh, but you missed the boat. Because what happens at the end of the Gesher HaChaim is going to be unbelievable. And you missed it, you think there's nothing over there, it's everything over there. So many people do this. So many people go through this. And Chazal is telling us that from the Yavon we see, from what went on over there by the Hanukkah Meister, was an unbelievable thing. They said concentrate on everything physical, nothing spiritual, no Torah Shabbat. Torah Shabbat stuff we don't mind. Stories we don't care. Oh, but don't do Torah Shabbat. Because that's already starts to get at high minyan, and that we don't want to do. And the Rebbe, we'll finish with this Meister, not a Meister, but this Inyan, is that there's a halacha in Hilchos Hanukkah. Kovsa ein zakuk lo. What does that mean? That means if a person, this is a menorah, he had a right amount of oil, yeah? And then it went out. One came along, no, what can I do? It went out. What's the halacha? Do I have to go along and relight that menorah? Right? The halacha is I don't have to. What's the pshat? What's the pshat I don't have to relight menorah? We know that there's a half an hour of assuming nissa, it's very geschmack. But what happens? Why do I not have to relight it? So B'nai Paschal and others also bring down, they show you this a tremendous yisurit. There's a mitzvah to light. You lit? You did the mitzvah. And what's the yisoid? The shtaglas. When a person tries, the Rabbi Shalom gets it. And the Rabbi Shalom will take it even further. You try? You didn't succeed? That's not your problem. The Rabbi Shalom will take it further. You lit the candle? It went out? That's not your problem. Your inyan is the mitzvah's nefesh. Your inyan is to try your hardest that you possibly can. And if you try, and like we said, you take the small steps. It's only the small steps. And it's like this that somebody has to come along on Hanukkah and shaking all the smoke. That Hanukkah is a time of chizuk that a person can get such a tremendous chizuk he cannot get the whole year in such a time. Now is the time a person should make kabbalas. He should take up something small upon himself. Something even tiny little thing. And from there it will go weiter and it will go weiter and it will go weiter. Right, the muscle of the person, of the boy, we said it here before, of the boy that they had a race. From the class, who can run up the stairs the highest? To the 100th floor, right? Remember we said this. So the first one goes up, he gets to number 22, not shy, I push it, can't, it doesn't go anymore. The second one got to 34, mumish, I don't know how he does it, not shy anymore. And one got to the 100th. How do you do that? They're very pushes. You won 34, I got to 35. And there was an elevator to me to the top. what the yesod is, that once a person tries, then the rebbeinu does the rest. And we can go even longer and longer. We can discuss all the half of Degesiv and all these things. Just tell you also one movie to Kamaisa, right? We see from this parasha, from Lot's parasha, that when Yosef was sold, what happened? They were carrying nice smelling things, right? What was the pshat? Oh, the person asked, who cares? Who cares what they were carrying? Nice smelling, not nice smelling. What the tenet is that when the Rebbeinu makes the Gzeira, he makes it nice. He makes it sweet for you. I have a cousin, that isn't Sorovskin, a very, very chashuv yid. Mamish, he's a boki b'shat, and we're showing him and post game claw. Unfortunately, what happened to him one time, his daughter became sick. And never he had to go take her to Tel Aviv. No, never, she died afterwards. Oh, but he, for the treatment, he took her to Tel Aviv. And he said, Rishat, my say, was going to go, how's he going to Tel Aviv? How's he going to get there? Because he found somebody that was driving straight to Tel Aviv, straight to that hospital. So you're going there, please? No, no problem, you can come in with me in the car. When he wanted to come out to Jerusalem, he found someone that was going, Mom, it's back to Sirovskin. And he said over the Meister, he said, you should know something. Exeira is Exeira. When the Rebbeinu Shlom says something, say that. I'm a cover of Exeira. Oh, but there's a certain sweetness to it. There's a certain schmack that the Rebbeinu Shlom has. Rebbeinu Shlom, Chanukah is teaching us a Yisoy. The mysterious nefesh that they went through. The fact that they weren't happy with where they were holding. No, so we'll get oil. What's the difference? Which oil? No, we want the best oil. This teaches us a Yisoy that a person can change. A person can take upon himself something. A person can become great. And it's only through the small steps that a person only this Chanukah would take upon himself one small little thing, and from this they will go higher and they will go higher. And constantly in Zokut Law, the Rebbeinu Shlom says, "You tried, you did the mitzvah. I'll carry on the rest. I'll do everything you need to make it easier for you, Rebbeinu Shlom." And that, Rebbeinu Shlom, is the message of Chanukah, and there's some that we should take with us. We have a few more days. The Tesla always says that the best is the beginning. Because you think 8 days of Chanukah, there's a lot of so much to do, so much to accomplish. And the Rebbeinu Shlom is that way. You've got so many, you've got 7 now more days of what you can accomplish. The tefillin, the learning. If a person would sit and learn, even when there's no yeshiva, and there's no nothing going on, nobody's looking, but he's sitting open up a Gemara for a minute or two. You know what that means? That pure, 100% Mesiras Nefesh. That's Mesiras Nefesh again, Rebbeinu Shlom. It doesn't mean climbing up the mountain and stuff like that. It means you do something more than what you could do. You try, and you do the best that you can. That's what the Rebbeinu Shlom wants. That's what Chanukah teaches us, Rebbeinu Shlom. The Olam should have a final Chanukah.